The king fidgeted in his throne. It was a vast piece of ivory and horn inlaid with gold tracery, and it made him look like a boy. The audience chamber was empty today, except for the regular guards, several guards hidden in the room's secret exits, and Durzo Blint. The emptiness made the chamber seem cavernous. Banners and tapestries adorned the walls, but did nothing to stave off the perpetual chill of such a large stone room. Several pairs of pillars held the high ceiling, and two sets of seven steps each led to the throne. Durzo stood, quietly, waiting for the king to initiate the conversation. He already had a battle plan, if it came to that. It was second nature to him. The Meister standing by the king would have to die first, then the two guards flanking the throne, then the king himself. With his talent, he could probably jump from the throne to the passage above it, currently obscured by a banner. He'd kill the archer within, and from there he'd be uncatchable. Like all battle plans, it would last only until the first move, but it was always useful to have a general plan, especially when you had no idea what your enemies knew. Durzo felt himself reaching into his garlic pouch, but he forced his hand to be still. Now was no time to show nerves. It was harder to stop his hand than he would have guessed. Something about the bite of garlic was comforting when he was stressed.
You let my boy die! They killed my boy last night, and you did nothing!
I'm not a bodyguard.
The king grabbed a spear from the guard standing beside him and threw it. Durzo was surprised at how good a throw it was. Had he stood still, the spear would have caught him in the sternum. But, of course, he didn't stand still. He swayed to the side, not even moving his feet, with careless and, he hoped, infuriating ease.
You're not shit unless I say so! You're shit! You shitting shit!
Your Majesty, a man of your stature's cursing vocabulary ought to extend beyond the tedious reiteration of the excreta that fills the void between his ears.
The king looked momentarily confused. The guards looked at each other aghast. The king saw the look and realized from their expressions that he'd been insulted. He backhanded Durzo, and Durzo let the blow fall. The king wore rings on all of his fingers, and two of them carved furrows in Durzo's cheek. Durzo clenched his jaw to quell the rising black fury.
The only reason you're alive right now isn't that I'm not willing to trade my life for yours, Elaine. I'd hate to be killed by amateurs. But know this. If you ever lay a hand on me again, you'll be dead less than a second later. Your Majesty.
King Elaine Gunder IX lifted his hand, seriously contemplating becoming the late King Elaine Gunder IX. He lowered his hand, but a triumphant gleam filled his eyes.
I won't have you killed yet, Durzo. I won't have you killed, because I have something better than death for you. You see, I know about you, Durzo Blint. I know! You have a secret, and I know it.
Forgive my quaking.
You have an apprentice, a young man styling himself as a noble. Kyle or something or other. A young man staying with those holier-than-thou drakes. Quite a student of the sword, isn't he, Master Dulai?
Night angels have mercy.
A chill shot down Durzo's spine. They knew. It was bad. Worse than bad. If they knew Kyla was his apprentice, it couldn't be long before they pinned the prince's death on him. Especially with the spectacle Kyler had made of himself by fighting with Logan Geyer. If Durzo's apprentice had been involved with killing the prince, the king would assume he had done it with Durzo's approval, if not under his orders. Roth would not be pleased. How had they done it?
Master Tulai, damn it.
Anything can go wrong, and something will. Durzo hadn't been betrayed. There was no grand scheme. That name meant that one of the king's spies had been watching the Drakes. Probably just routine spying on a formerly powerful man. The spy had seen Durzo enter and had recognized him. Probably the spy had been one of the guards the king had tried to awe him with in the statue garden. It didn't matter.
Oh, I wish Brad were here right now to see the look on your face, Durzo Blint! In fact, where is Brad?
Sire, he's in the castle now on his way here to report. He went to the Garda estate after investigating matters at the Jadwin estate.
He's lost.
At the word, grief and fury rippled through the little king, and he seemed abruptly a different man.
You let them kill my boy, you shit! So I'm going to kill yours. His death will come from the last hand he'd expect. And it will be arriving, any moment now.
I heard you had a little tussle with Logan last night.
Kyler blinked through bleary eyes and went from dead tired to wide awake in the space of a second. He'd only slept for a few hours, and he'd had the nightmare again. Every death he saw made him dream of rats. They were seated at the breakfast table, and Kyler had a fork full of egg poised in front of his mouth. He stuffed it in to give himself a little time.
That was nothing.
This was a disaster. If Count Drake knew about the fight, he might know about the prince's death. Kyler had thought that he'd have time to pack his things and leave this morning before the Drakes got word. That he needed to leave was undeniable. He just thought he'd have a little more time.
Oh, Sarah was quite upset. She took Logan to her aunt's house near the Jodwins to have his wounds tended. She just got back a few minutes ago.
Oh.
If Sarah had left right after the fight, she and Count Drake didn't know about the prince yet. Apparently, Kyler's perfect streak of bad luck was breaking. But now that he knew that matters of life and death weren't threatening him, he realized that Sarah coming home and telling Count Drake what had happened last night would have other implications. That would be the Count's gentle way of saying, "Why the hell did you kiss my Sarah and beat up my future son-in-law and your best friend after you told me you had no feelings for her?" Out of the corner of his eye, Kyler saw someone pass the window quickly, and a moment later, the old porter toddled after, looking upset. Logan stormed into the room, red-eyed but regal. He held a claymore the size of Alatera in his hand. Kyler jumped to his feet. He was pinned in a corner. Logan hefted the claymore. Kyler hefted a butter knife.
"I'm engaged!"
Logan swept Kyler into a massive hug. By the time Logan released him, Kyler's heart had started beating again. Count Drake collapsed into his chair in relief.
"You big bastard! Congratulations! I told you it would work, didn't I?"
"Work?
Well, you didn't have to hit me so hard."
"I had to convince her."
"You nearly widowed her! I haven't been beaten so badly since that fight in the arena."
"Excuse me, work? Convince her?"
Kyler said Sarah really did love me, and she only needed to be reminded, and..."
"Kyler, are you telling me your fight was staged? You made a fool of yourself in public, deceived my daughter, and traded her affections like a cheap trinket?"
"That's not exactly... yes, sir."
"And you dragged Logan into this? Logan, who ought to know better?"
"Yes, sir."
At least Logan was looking as pained as he felt. The Count looked from one of them to the other, then broke into a grin.
"God bless you!"
Drake swept Kyler into a massive hug. After he released Kyler, Count Drake turned. There were tears in his eyes as he gripped Logan's forearm.
"And God bless you, son."
Lord General Agon stormed into the castle, flanked by his bodyguards. The day had already been long, and the sun had only been up 3 hours. Seeing the look on his face, the men guarding doors in the castle made sure he didn't have to wait for them to open. Walking into the audience chamber, he passed a cloaked man coming out who seemed vaguely familiar, but the man had his hood up and his face was invisible. One of the king's spies, no doubt. Agon didn't have time for him. None of the news was good. The Gyres were the foremost family in the realm. To have their murder come on the same night the prince was killed was too much to bear. Agon had liked the prince, but the Gyres had been his friends. And what he'd seen at their estate, he wouldn't wish on his worst enemy. The pieces weren't fitting. This had all the marks of a move, a big move, a play for the throne. But why this way? Killing the prince shook everything, of course, but killing the Gyre's servants and Lady Gaia did nothing politically, did it? As of today, his birthday, Logan Geyer became the Geyer in his father's absence. If you wanted to wipe out a family, you started with the heirs, not everyone else. And unless the news was still en route, both Geyer heirs were still alive. The prince's death wasn't only a terrible blow to the Gunder line. It was an enormous scandal. The king's affairs had been ignored, but finding the prince dead after apparently having had relations with the king's mistress would shed all sorts of unflattering light on the entire Gunder line. The assassination, if it were such, wasn't just a tragedy. It was a horror and an embarrassment. The Lord General wondered whether the horror or the embarrassment would be foremost on the king's mind. What would the queen do? He approached the throne and climbed the stairs. The usual men were there, talking with the king. Agon trusted none of them.
Out! All of you, out!
Excuse me, but as the king's chief...
Out!
Fergan, the mage, shrank and joined the men streaming out of the room. Agon motioned to his bodyguards to step outside, too.
I'm ruined, Brand! What will history say about me?
Sire, we have more pressing matters.
Everyone's talking about it, Brand. My son. She murdered my boy. My boy.
So, the man is capable of thinking of others. If only he'd show his humanity more often. Your Highness, the Duchess didn't kill your son.
What?
Sire, it was a wet boy.
I don't care who actually did it, Brand. Trudana was behind it. Trudana and Logan Geyer.
Logan Geyer? What are you talking about?
You think you're the only person I have working on this, Brent? My spies have already told me Logan was behind it all. That bitch Trudana just cooperated. I've already sent men to arrest him.
Agon reeled. It couldn't be. In fact, he was sure it wasn't.
Why would Logan do such a thing? Logan was one of your son's best friends. He isn't ambitious in the least. By the gods, he just got engaged to Sarah Drake, a count's daughter.
It didn't have anything to do with power or ambition, Brent. It was jealousy. Logan felt that my son had totally humiliated him over some trivial matter. You know how boys get. It's just like the Geyers to covet our every success. Besides, I have witnesses who heard Logan threaten him.
It was all rattling together, the pieces spinning and falling into place. Kyler Stern, the false noble, the wet boy, was a close friend of Logan's. In a fit of rage, Logan hired Kyler to kill the prince. It all fit. Except that it was Logan. Agon knew him, and he didn't believe it.
Which wet boy did they hire, Brant?
It was Kyler Stern.
The gods must be with me for once.
Sire?
I just hired Hugh Gibbons' apprentice to go and kill him. A girl, wet boy, if you can believe it. Kyler is Blint's apprentice. Or was. He's probably dead by now.
Kyler is Blint's apprentice?
The picture that had been slowly spinning together burst apart. The king had hired Blint. Blint's apprentice wouldn't have killed his employer's son, would he? The name Hugh Gibbet had been carved into the bodies at the Geyer estate. Of course, only a fool would carve his own name onto such a massacre. But from his hours at the estate, Agon was sure that all the murders had been the work of a single man. He could think of no one who could kill so many people except a wet boy, and the style certainly fit what he had heard of Hugh Gibbet. He couldn't imagine Dirzel Blint mutilating bodies. Blint would consider it unprofessional. Hugh Gibbet would only sign his name if he thought the authorities would never have a chance to come after him. The king said the prince's murder didn't have anything to do with power. But this was Sanaria. Everything had to do with power. If Dirzel Blint's apprentice really had killed the prince, why would he have left a witness? Blint's apprentice would be as professional as Blint himself. A witness was a loose end that was easy to tie up. It was all about power.
Has there been any word from our garrison at Screaming Winds?
No.
So the Caladoran army is at least 4 days away. What are you planning to do about the festival tonight?
I'm not going to celebrate midsummers on the day after my son's death.
My king, I think perhaps you should.
I will not host a party for my boy's murderers.
The king's eyes flashed, and he looked less like a petulant child and more like a king than Agon had ever seen.
I have to do something! Everyone will think that I'm weak and spineless and pathetic and useless. But in reality, I am there.
The king went on, I am waiting but Thagon ignored him.
Everyone will think. That is the key. What will everyone think?
The prince was dead. Killed in a shameful way, either by the king's mistress or by a wet boy. The beloved Gyres were dead or imprisoned. Agon suspected now that an assassin had probably made his way into Screaming Winds and killed Regnus as well. It wouldn't make sense to leave him alive. Not when someone was going to such pains to set plans in motion. Everyone will think that the king ordered his own son killed in a jealous rage, and that to get back at his unfaithful mistress, he framed her. With the right rumors, everyone's bewilderment over why the Gyres had been murdered could be turned too. People would connect all the murders. But how? The Gyres were next in line for the throne after the Gunders, though the family had never challenged the king. The king, weak and jealous, could be portrayed as paranoid all too easily, and the Gyres were far more respected than the Gunders. Lord Gyres' faithful service would be seen as being rewarded with treachery and murder. Logan, the new Lord Gyre, had been seized by the king, and the king's natural inclination would be to keep him in prison. But Logan was known to be absolutely moral, without ambitions. For the gods' sakes, he was betrothed to a lowly drake. So if the king were to die, who would succeed him? The vastly popular Logan Gyre would be in prison, where he could easily be killed. The king's son was dead. His eldest daughter was 15, the others even younger, too young to hold the throne in a nation at war. His wife Nalia might try to take the throne, but the king had feared her and marginalized her as much as he could, and she seemed content to stay out of politics. The Jadwins were finished after their part in the scandal. That left the kingdom's two other duchies. Either Duke Grayson or Duke Weseros, the king's father, could make a grab for power, but the queen's brother, Havrin, was out of the country, so he seemed an unlikely usurper. Duke Grayson was feeble. Any of a dozen lesser families might try for the throne, but no one could hold it. It would be a civil war in which the four main parties were equally matched. Civil war of a kind far worse than the civil war that Regnus had feared 10 years ago when he allowed Elaine to take the throne. Where did that leave the other players he'd been worried about so much recently? Where did the Sakage and Kalidor fit? If the price were right, Kalidor could buy Sakage's help. And then all the pieces snapped together for him at once.
Damn!
What? What is it, Brand?
All these years, he and the king had been so focused on Kalidor that they'd never thought of a threat coming from within. Kalidor was taking out the entire line of succession and manipulating the king into helping. Once all the heirs who were both legitimate and powerful were eliminated, Kalidor would kill the king. They would act quickly before he could establish a new line of succession, before he could consolidate power or mend the relationships he was about to break. Then they could watch the chaos and march when they pleased.
Your Highness, you must listen. This is the prelude to a coup. We may only have days. If it starts, all our preparations against Kalidor will be useless, and you'll be the first to die.
The king's face was painted with fear.
I'm listening.
After congratulating Logan a few more times, Kyler had excused himself to let the young duke speak with his father-in-law-to-be. Sarah was in the back of the house, getting changed, and they had agreed that she probably shouldn't see Logan and Kyler being friendly until after the wedding.
I'll understand if I'm not invited, but if you ever do tell her, I'll expect an apology. Congratulations.
Kyler climbed up the stairs to his room, pitched his tunic in a corner, and stared into the looking glass.
And congratulations to you. Your master is going to kill you, and all the women in your life hate you. Well done.
Next to the mirror, he noticed a bundle of letters bound together with a ribbon. He picked it up. Scrawled on a scrap of paper in Blint's hand was a note.
Since you've crossed the line, I guess there's no reason to hide these from you anymore.
What?
Kyler untied the ribbon and read the first letter. It had been written by a child, all big letters and disconnected thoughts.
Thank you so much. I love it here. You're great. It's my birthday today. I love you, Elaine.
An adult had ridden below that.
Sorry, Count Drake. She overheard us talking about her lord benefactor. She's been wanting to write this letter since we started teaching her how to write. She wouldn't let go of the idea when she got a hold of it. Tell us if we shouldn't let her write no more. Humbly yours, Ger Cromwell.
Kyla was spellbound. There was a letter for each year, each getting longer, the handwriting better. He felt like he was watching Elaine grow up before his eyes. She, too, had changed her name. But there was no denial in her of what she had been. No divorce from her previous weakness and vulnerability. When she was 15, she wrote,
Paul asked if I get mad because my face got cut up. I said it's not fair that I got out of the Warrens while so many others never did. Look at everything I've got, and it's all because of you.
Kyler had to flip through the letters, just skimming them. He was living on borrowed time. Sooner or later, word would arrive about the prince's death. And damn, the girl could write a lot. He flipped to the last letter. It was dated just a few days ago.
You don't know what you've done for me. I've told you all about the ways your money has saved my family, especially when my adoptive father died. But you've done more than that. Just knowing that somewhere out there, there's a young lord who cares about me. Me! A slave-born girl with a scarred face. Has made all the difference. You've made me feel special. Paul proposed to me last week.
Kyler had a sudden impulse to find this Paul and kick his ass.
I would have said yes, even though I hate his temper and other things, too. The point is, just that you're out there, caring about me, makes me believe that I'm worth more than a lousy marriage to the first man who will propose to a scarred girl. It gives me faith that the god has something better for me.
Oh, she's a god person. Great. So that was how she knew the Drakes.
Thank you. And sorry about my last letter. I'm totally mortified by what I wrote. Please ignore everything I said.
Huh?
Kyler turned back to the last letter and couldn't help grinning. Aline had been deep in the throes of full-blown 16-year-old girl romanticism.
I think I'm in love with you. In fact, I'm sure of it. Last year, when I went to Count Drake's to drop off my letter, Mother finally lets me do a few things by myself, I think I saw you. Maybe it wasn't you, but it could have been you. There's this boy there, a young lord like you. He's so handsome, and they totally love him. I mean, you can just tell how much everyone thinks of him, even Count Drake. I mean, I know he's not really you because he's not rich like you. Because his family is poor, he lives with the Drakes.
Aline had seen him. She had seen him a year ago, and she thought he was handsome. She thought he was handsome?
But what does money really matter when you have love?
There were no... Yes, there were tear splotches on the page. Well, Kyler had grown up around three girls. It didn't totally surprise him. He just wondered when Aline had started crying.
So, since you're the strong, silent type, and you never write back to my letters, I've decided I'm going to call you Kyla. I suppose you might be fat and ugly and have a big nose and... Oh, I am so sorry. I should start over. But Mother says I already use too much paper as it is. I'm sorry. I am a total brat. But can't you write back to me even once? Have Count Drake give it to me next year when I drop off my letter. Paul says I'm not infatuated with a man. I'm infatuated with a bag of money.
Aline didn't know anything about him, but hey, she'd been barely 16, and Kyler still wanted to kick Paul's ass.
But I'm not. It's not infatuation. I love you, Kyler.
A chill washed through him at those words. How he wanted to hear those words. How he wanted to hear them from her. And here they were. Here they were in knots and knots of his duplicity. She said those words to him, not thinking he was he, not knowing Count Drake gave her letters to Durzo, not knowing Kyler really was her young benefactor, not knowing Kyler was really Azoth, not knowing Kyler was a killer, not knowing that for that one time she'd seen him, that he had seen her hundreds of times. Twice every week, whenever he could make it, in the market off Sidlin Way. He'd watched her grow up in that market, told himself 1,000 times that next week he wouldn't go and try to catch a glimpse of her, and always succumbed. He'd watched from afar and come to have his own infatuation, hadn't he? He'd told himself that she was just forbidden fruit, that that was all that appealed to him about her. He told himself he just wanted to see that she was well. When that didn't work, he told himself that it would pass. He was 20 years old now, and he was still waiting for it to pass. His sudden hope, she'd been infatuated with him, hit reality like Gandhian porcelain hitting the floor. The delicate tracery of thin possibilities smashed. Now, the stricken look on her face yesterday made more sense. The revelations that could have been so poignant for her.
I am Kyla and Azoth and your young lord, and I love you too.
It had hit her like a sledgehammer instead.
I am Kyla and Azoth and your young lord and a murderer. Help me. Give me your trust so I can betray it.
There wasn't time for self-pity, and Kyler had already indulged in too much of it. He'd left behind a witness who knew he was a wet boy and who knew he was Kyler Stern and who believed him guilty of stealing the Globe of Edges, if not worse. So he'd quite possibly thrown away an identity he'd spent 10 years building for a little ball that he hadn't even kept. The buckets of hot water that the maid usually put in his room in the morning were empty. For some reason, that set him off. He felt his eyes getting hot and tears threatening. It was so ridiculous, he almost laughed. Those empty buckets were the smallest inconvenience, but it was like the gods, or Drake's one god, wanted to crush him. Everything that could go wrong had. Master Blint was going to kill him. The woman he was trading his life to save hated him. Even Sarah Drake, who had been unsure about whether she loved him or Logan just last night, now hated him. The worst part of it was that it was all his fault. Everything that had gone wrong because of decisions he had made. Well, at least the empty buckets weren't his fault. Kyla grabbed the buckets and walked down the hall. He ran into the maid coming up the stairs with 2 buckets full of steaming water.
Hello.
He didn't recognize her, but she was prettier than most of the girls Mistress Bronwyn hired.
Hello. I'm so sorry I'm late. It's my first day, and I don't know where to find everything. I'm really sorry. Excuse me.
The maid squeezed past him, and Kyla couldn't help but notice her large breasts gliding across his bare chest. She disappeared into his room, and he followed.
I can take those if you...
You aren't mad, are you? Please, don't tell Count Drake or Mistress Bronwyn that I was late. I don't think she likes me, and if I mess up on my first day, I'm sure she'll throw me out. And I need this job ever so bad, sir.
Whoa, relax. I'm not mad. I'm Kyla.
Kyla extended a hand and a smile. She seemed to warm instantly. She smiled and took his hand. Her eyes flicked briefly over his bare chest and stomach. Briefly, but appreciatively.
Hello. I'm Viridiana.
The porter showed a handsome Ladesian man into the den. Logan had stepped out to grab something to eat from the kitchen, so Count Drake was alone.
Sir, he insisted that he must deliver a message in person.
Very well, thank you.
The Ladesian had such presence that it seemed odd for him to be acting as a messenger. He looked rather like a courtier or a bard. He was holding something in his hand that took all Count Drake's attention away from the man. It was an arrow. Its entire length, including steel head and feathers, had been painted a glossy red, the color of fresh blood.
Good morning, my lord. I wish our meeting could be under different circumstances, but I'm afraid my message is quite important. This comes from Durzo Blint. He said, if he's still alive, give this to the boy and tell him to meet me for dinner at the Tipsy Tart.
The man bowed and presented the red arrow to the Count. Just then, Logan stepped into the room from the kitchen.
Ha! If he's still alive! I guess one of Kyla's friends saw me coming here this morning, huh? I'm sure you scared everyone who saw you. I'll give it to him. Thank you.
Hey, my lord, we mourn your loss.
The man bowed again and walked out.
Was that a bachelor joke?
I don't know. I visited Ladesh once and never did understand their humor. Maybe I should take this upstairs.
Here I thought we were about to have the big father-son dialect about marital intimacies.
You put it so primly.
Well, Sarah's pretty prim.
Believe me, there's nothing prim about marital intimacies, Logan.
Viridiana rubbed her shoulder.
It's so nice to see someone nice. I thought this place was going to be awful to work at after how mean Mistress Bronwyn was. You don't mind, do you?
No, not at all.
As if it were the most natural thing in the world, Viridiana untied the laces of her bodice, which Kyler had already noticed was unusually tight.
Oh, that's better.
Viridiana closed and locked the door and then walked over to the buckets, peeling off her bodice and dropping it. Then Viridiana bent over to pick up the water buckets again. She must have had 6 feet of cleavage because Kyler was totally lost in it. His mouth opened, but no words came out. It was with an unseemly amount of effort that he pulled his eyes up. Viridiana was watching him, and even as his face got hot, he saw that she was anything but displeased. With a deft twist, she released her tightly bound hair, and it cascaded around her face in long curls.
Are you ready for your bath, my lord?
No! I mean...
Will you want to bathe after?
Viridiana walked forward. She reached behind her back and started opening buttons.
After?
Kyler stepped back, but his resistance was crumbling. Her body was more persuasive than a room full of scholars. His calves hit his bed.
I don't really feel very comfortable.
He was falling back as her other hand came up from behind her dress in a glimmering metallic arc. By the time his back hit the bed, she was straddling him, her knees pinning his arms to his sides, one hand grabbing his hair, the other pressing the knife to his neck.
Comfortable?
Viridiana wasn't kidding with the knife. It was pressing against the side of his neck just at the point where a little pressure would break the skin, and it was poised over an artery.
Ah, shit! You're Hugh Gibbet's apprentice, V. How'd I miss it?
Who are you working for? The prince was my debtor.
Seriously, how embarrassing. To be taken in by another wet boy. Or are you a wet girl?
Not in the way you're hoping.
She pinched his cheek.
You aren't too ugly, you know. It'll be a shame to kill you.
The shame's all mine, I assure you.
Don't feel bad. Part of my talent is a glamour. It's to your credit you weren't actually drooling.
You mean those are an illusion?
Move your hands and die. The body's real. Thanks.
I should say thank you. But this knife at my throat is muting my appreciation, son.
If you're trying to charm your way out of this, you need practice. Who are you working for?
You're working for the king, aren't you?
Macbone. I like that.
Wetting myself would be awfully messy for both of us. Was that better?
Better. I'll give you one for effort. I took this job from the king. He was a little peeved that you killed his son. So I take his money, but I take my orders from Roth. Last chance now.
Maybe you can appreciate my dilemma. If I don't answer, you'll kill me painfully, but it will take a while. If I do answer, you'll kill me quickly, but soon.
Or you can try to string this out for as long as you can and hope someone saves you. You're smart. I suppose you'd have to be. We've all been curious why Blint would choose an apprentice without the talent. I guess smart wins it.
You all? You've been taking bets on me? Wait, they say I don't have the talent.
Like they say, there are no secrets worth knowing in the Sakage. So you aren't going to tell me who you are working for, are you? Probably just another one sent by Roth. When he wants a job done, he makes sure he gets it done. There's even a rumor he got Lady Jadwin to do it, but I know a wet boy's work when I see it.
You're kind of chatty, aren't you?
If he had a free hand, he would have slapped himself.
Kyler, note. When attempting to buy time, do not criticize the prolixity of your captor.
Her beautiful face turned ugly for half a second, and Kyler saw the Hugh Gibbet in her. Then she smiled. But Hugh didn't leave her eyes.
In the next life, work on that charm.
The next feeling would be the glide of a knife, the flesh of his neck parting, warmth, Kyler's muscles bunched with need and desperation.
Kyla!
V flinched and turned her head. Kyla threw his head to the side and bucked, trying to throw her off. Well, that's what he told his body to do. Instead, he felt energy pouring through him like lightning on a leash. A brief euphoria, power swelling through him. Well-being, as if he'd been sick his entire life and now felt health for the first time. V flew into the air, but she held onto Kyla's hair and one of her legs got tangled with one of his. So instead of flying off him, she flew up and then crashed back down on him. She tried to slash him, but both of his hands were up now and he caught both of her arms and rolled. They fell off the bed and he landed on her. She grunted and raised an E between his legs. It was like the sun exploding in his pants. It was all Kyla could do not to let go of her hands as she rolled on top of him.
Kyla, do you have a lady in there?
I wouldn't call her a lady.
Kyla's stones hurt so bad he could barely move, much less fight.
Help!
Ugh, you're pathetic.
She launched herself off of him. Viridiana threw her knife at Count Drake. The Count threw himself to the side and the knife sailed past him harmlessly. Instantly, he had a throwing knife in his own hand, but he hesitated. V saw his hand raised and leaped for the window. Kyla grabbed the knife from the Count's hand and threw it as V disappeared through the window. He thought he saw it sink into her shoulder. Kyla grabbed the sword that was secreted under his bed, but when he looked out the window, she was gone. The Count looked shaken. He was holding a red arrow in his other hand.
I hesitated.
From anyone else, it would have been a concession of defeat. But Count Drake sounded victorious.
After all these years, I wondered. But it's true. I really have changed. Thank you, God.
What are you talking about?
Kyla, we have to talk.
I'll be dead in a day or two, so please pay attention, Jarl.
Jarl hesitated for a moment, and then sipped the utai she'd poured him.
Damn, but the boy can be cold.
But then, that was why she was having this talk with him, rather than with anyone else.
Tomorrow or the next day, Kyla or Durza will come here and kill me. Because I sent Kyla to kill a man he thought was Hugh Gibbet, but actually was Durzo, disguised as Hugh. Whichever one lived through their fight now knows that I lied and that I betrayed them both. I know that you were once friends with Kyla, Jarl.
I still am.
Fine. I wasn't going to ask you to avenge me. I'm ready for justice. Life from here is just a series of disappointments anyway.
What can I do to help you, Mama Kay?
I don't want you to help me. Things are happening fast, Jarl. Maybe too fast. Roth's making play at becoming Shinga. I suspect we'll be hearing the sad news that Pondraden is dead any time now.
You're not going to warn him? You're just going to let Roth kill him?
Two reasons, Jarl. Knowing either of them could cost you your life. Are you ready to be a player on this stage?
Jarl scowled, actually thought about it, and then nodded.
First, I'm going to let Pondraden die because I've been compromised. Roth blackmailed me into betraying Durzo and Kyla. I won't share how. I've been humiliated enough. All that matters is that Roth owns me. I can't oppose him in any way that he might detect or suspect, or it will cost me something I value more than my life. So, I'm going to die. I want you to replace me.
You want me to take your seat on the Nine?
I was never just the Mistress of Pleasures, Jarl. I've been the Shinga for 19 years.
Amake had some satisfaction in the way her unflappable protege's eyes widened. He sank back in his chair.
Gods! That explains a few things.
For what felt like the first time in years, she really felt like laughing. If exposing your throat always felt like this, she thought she understood for the first time why Durzo had loved the danger in his work. It made you appreciate being alive, standing this close to death.
Tell me how it works.
It was what she would have said in his place. She would have accepted what the Shinga had said about her death and immediately started looking for how it would affect her, rather than expressing any sorrow that the Shinga would be dead. Or perhaps, in Jarl's place, She would have given some moo of sorrow that her mistress would die. But it would have been a lie. Jarl gave no such pretense, and maybe she could respect him for that. He'd learned her lessons well, but it still hurt.
I'm sorry.
Jarl sounded like he really meant it. Maybe he did. Or maybe he was just sorry that she was sinking into such softness that, at the approach of her death, she, who had taught him how to manipulate his own pities and loves, should want him to do that toward her. She couldn't tell. Jarl was what she had made him to be. It was worse than looking in a mirror.
Everyone in the Sakage knows who their boss is. The smarter ones know who their representative on the Nine is. Of course, the Shinga's identity is an open secret, which means not a secret at all. Put that together, and if you pool a few thieves and whores, you can figure out the entire power structure of the Sakage. That's been fine for the last 14 years, because things have been so stable.
Was that stability because of your leadership, or just luck?
My leadership? I had the last king killed and put Elaine on the throne, so we haven't had pressure from above, and I've handled all the pressures from within. But the normal state of any Sakage is upheaval, Jarl. Thieves and murderers and cutpurses and whores don't tend to stay united. Assassinations are common. During your life, it's been far more peaceful than ever before. The first 5 years I was Shinga, we lost 8 Shingas. 6 were assassinations from outside. 2 I had to have killed myself because they tried to take my power. Only 2 seats on the 9 remained unchanged. For the last 14 years, Pondraden has been able to indulge his vices freely, so long as he attended the meetings and kept his mouth shut and didn't step out of line. I never expected him to last so long.
So only the 9 know who's really the Shinga?
And the wet boys, but they take a magically binding oath of service. The system does have its drawbacks. Pon is nearly as rich as I am just from kickbacks and bribes. And every new member of the 9 finds out that he's been sucking the wrong toes for however long it took to climb the ranks. It irritates some of them mightily, but it also keeps some people off the 9 who don't belong there. Best of all, it's kept me alive and in power.
What does Roth mean to this?
Roth has just joined the 9. He isn't in on the secret. That's why Pon will die sometime today or tomorrow. Roth thinks killing him will make him Shinga. But that actually exposes the greatest flaw in all my secrecy. If only 8 people know who the real Shinga is, Roth only has to convince those 8 that he is the Shinga now.
Well, if the rest of the 9 are so afraid of him, how do I take his power?
Exactly that. You take it. I won't leave you defenseless, of course.
Mama Kay reached into her desk and pulled out a small book.
My spies. I hope I don't need to tell you that the longer it is before you burn this book, the less your life is worth.
Jarl took the book.
I'll memorize it immediately.
He's in a strong position, Jarl. People are terrified of him.
So, that's everything?
You'll forgive me if I don't tell you where all my riches are stored. An old woman has to protect herself, just in case I live through this. Besides, if I die, you'll have plenty of time to find it all.
Can I ask your advice?
Go ahead.
I followed the men you asked about. They were definitely witches. They attempted an ambush on Regnus Geyer with a small retinue north of the city. Most of his men were wiped out, and all of them would have been, except that he had a mage with him.
Mama Kay raised an eyebrow.
I was viewing them from a distance, but Regnus and the mage quarreled afterward and rode separate directions. My guess was that Lord Geyer didn't know his man was a mage.
This mage defeated 3 witches?
Everything spectacular came from the witches, but when the smoke cleared, and I mean that literally, he was the only one standing. The man fought with his wits. He stalled 2 of the witches until Lord Geyer's soldiers could cut them down. He made a horse trample the 3rd. I don't understand magic, so maybe there was more I didn't see, but that was what it looked like.
Go on.
Lord Geyer had only 1 man left after he and the mage quarreled. They took a circuitous route through the city and arrived at his man's after midnight. You've heard what was there?
28 dead. Hugh Gibbet was given free rein.
Roth's orders?
Yes. Unfortunately, the wet boy's oath does have a number of loopholes.
It was horrific. Anyway, Lord Geyer persuaded the men who came to arrest him to join him instead. And they are now hiding at a cousin's house, trying to quietly gather as much support as they can. The mage is Sethi, first name Solon. I couldn't find anything else yet. As of half an hour ago, he was staying at the White Crane.
You never disappoint, Jarl.
A maid came in and handed a slip of paper to Mama Kay. She handed it to Jarl.
The cipher's in the front of your book.
In a minute, Jarl had it decoded.
Pawn Drayden's dead. What do I do now?
That, my apprentice, is your problem.
Kyla, I want to talk about your future.
This should be brief.
I've got a proposal for you, Kyla. I've been thinking about this a lot, and Kyla, you're not cut out to be a wet boy. No, listen to me. I want to give you a way out, son. Kyla, I want you to marry Alina.
Sir?
I know it seems abrupt, but I want you to think about it.
Sir, she's only 15.
Oh, I don't mean now. What I propose is that, well, Kyla, that you get betrothed. Elena's been infatuated with you for years, and I propose that we give it a couple of years to see if anything comes of it, while you're learning my business.
I'm not sure I understand, sir. In fact, I'm sure I don't understand.
Kyla, I want to give the chance to leave the life you're in. Learn my business, and take it over for yourself someday. I've spoken with the Queen, and with her permission, I found out that we could transfer my title to you. You'd be a Count, Kyla. It's nothing special, I know, but it would make you legitimate. You could be what you've been pretending to be all these years.
Transfer your title? What do you mean, transfer it?
Oh, Kyla, the title hasn't done me any good anyways, and I don't have any sons to pass it on to anyway. You need it, and I don't. Anyway, I want to do this. Even if the whole betrothal with Alina doesn't appeal to you, this would give you time, Kyla. Time to figure out what you want to do with your life. It cuts you free. Free of them.
Free. Out of the Sakage. It was the most noble gesture Kyler had ever heard of. And after last night, it was too late.
It won't work, sir. I'm sorry. Believe me, you've been more than kind to me. Far kinder than I deserve. But I don't think that...
Kyler nodded toward the picnic Logan and Sarah were sharing.
Is for me.
I know you're planning on leaving, Kyla.
Yes, sir.
Soon?
I meant to be gone already.
Then maybe the god led me to speak with you now. Durzo told you not to listen to my preaching, I suppose.
He said if I believed you, it'd get me killed.
Oh, fair enough statement, I suppose. He used to work for me, you know.
Excuse me? Durzo? Before he was a wet boy?
No. He used to kill people for me. That's how we know each other. That's how we knew he could trust me with you. Durzo doesn't have much of a social life outside his work, you know.
You! You ordered kills?
Not so loud. My wife knows, but there's no need to frighten the maids. I've tried not to preach at you with words, but rather let my life stand testimony to what I know, Kyla. But maybe I've erred in that. A saint once said, preach at all times. When necessary, use words. Can I take a minute of your time?
Some part of him wanted to say no. Not only was it awkward to hear someone you respect try to sell you something that you knew you weren't going to buy, but Kyla was living on borrowed time. It seemed that at any minute news would arrive accusing Kyla of last night's theft, and this whole pretty picture would pop like a bubble. Logan would know him for what he was. Sarah would have another chance to berate him. The Count would get that disappointed look on his face that cut to the bone. Kyler knew the Count would be disappointed in him, would never really know how much good Kyler had done last night, and at what cost to himself. The Count would be disappointed regardless of what Kyler did now. But Kyler didn't have to see it.
My father inherited a large fortune from his father. Enough that he mingled with Gordon Grayson, Bran Wesserosa, and Darvin Markell. I guess you wouldn't know about the Markells. They were wiped out in the 8 Years' War. Anyway, he tried to impress these sons of dukes by throwing money around. Lavish parties, gambling, renting out entire brothels. It didn't help that his own father died while he was still young. Of course, our family was soon in poverty. My father took his own life. So at the age of 19, I took control of a house on the brink of ruin. I had a good head for business, but I saw it as beneath me. Like many who have no reason for pride, that very lack of reason for it made me the prouder. But certain realities have a way of making themselves felt, and debt is one of them. Not surprisingly, one of my father's debtors had a way that I could make easy money. I started working for the Sakage. The man who recruited me was the Tremateer. If he'd been better at his job, he would have only gotten me deeper and deeper in the Sakage's debt. But I soon found out that I understood men and money and the ways they worked together better than he did. Strangely enough, I had fewer qualms. I put my money into whatever made money. Specialty brothels to cater to any appetite, no matter how depraved. I started gambling dens and brought in experts from around the world to help me better separate my patrons from their money. I funded spice expeditions and bribed guards not to investigate the cargo. When one of my businesses was threatened, I had bashers take care of the problem. The first time they went too far and accidentally killed a man, I was shocked. But he wasn't someone I liked, and it was for my family, and I didn't have to see it. So that made it palatable. When I clashed with the Tremateer, it was an easy decision to hire Durzo. I was naive enough that I didn't realize he went to the Shinga immediately to get permission first. They gave it to him, and I became the Sakage Master of Coin.
Kyler heard every word, but he couldn't believe it. This couldn't be the Count Drake he had grown up with. Rimbold Drake had been on the Nine?
I traveled a lot, setting up businesses in other countries with fairly good success. And it was then I had my horrible revelation. Of course, I didn't see the horror in it at the time. I could only see my own brilliance. In 4 years, I paid off my family's debts. But now I saw a way to make real money. I sold the Sakage on the idea. It took us 10 years, but we got our people in place. And we legalized slavery. It was introduced in a limited form, of course, for convicts and the utterly destitute. People who couldn't care for themselves, we said. Our brothels filled with slave girls whom we no longer had to pay. We started the death games. Another of my bright ideas. And they became a sensation. An obsession. We built the arena, charged the admission, monopolized the food and wine sold, ran the gambling, sometimes to stack the odds. We made money faster than we'd ever imagined possible. I hired Durzo so often that we became friends. Even he wouldn't take all the jobs I offered. He always had his own code. He'd take jobs on the people who were trying to take my business for themselves. But if I wanted someone dead who was just trying to stop me, I had to hire Anders Gurka or Skard Rabel or Jonas Severing or Hugh Gibbet. You have to understand, with all of this, I never considered myself a bad person. I didn't like the death games. I never watched, never went in the holds of the slave galleys where men lived and died, chained to their oars. Never visited the baby farms that sometimes became child brothels. Never visited the scenes of Blint's work. I just said words, and money poured in like rain. The funny thing was, I wasn't even ambitious. I was richer than anyone in the kingdom, with the exception of some upper nobility, the Shinga and the king, and I was comfortable with that. I just couldn't stand incompetence. Otherwise, I'm sure the Shinga would have killed me. But she didn't have to, because I wasn't a threat, and Durzo told her that. I'm rambling. Sorry, but I don't get to tell these stories anymore. My mistake came when I fell in love with the wrong woman. For some reason, I was attracted to Yulana. Not just attracted, obsessed. It took me a long time to figure out why. I even avoided her. It was so painful to be in her presence.
but I finally figured out that it was because she was so unlike me. You see, Kyla, she was pure. And strangely, she seemed to love me too. Of course, she had no idea what I really was. I did none of my business under my own name, and few nobles had any idea of the kind of wealth that was becoming mine. The deeper I sank into darkness, the more I loved her, the more my shame grew. How can one love the light and live in darkness?
The question lanced through Kyler. He felt ashamed.
She started working on the slavery issue, Kyler, and she decided that she was going to visit the baby farms and the slave galleys and the fighting pits. I couldn't very well let her go alone. So for the first time, I saw my handiwork. Oh, Kyla, how she moved among those wretches. In all the stench of human waste and despair and evil, she was a fresh, cool breeze, a breath of hope. She was the light in the dark places I'd made. I saw a champion pit fighter, a man who'd killed 50 men, weep at her touch. I was a man tearing in half. I decided to get out. But, like most mortal cowards, I didn't want to pay the full price. So I traveled to Seth, where slavery is so different. I came back and in secret helped pass a law that would free the slaves every 7 years. The Sakage allowed it to pass, but tacked on a provision that made it effectively void. Then one day Yulana, who was then my fiancée, came to my estate weeping. Her father and mother had been badly hurt in a carriage accident. She thought her mother was dying and she needed me. At the same time, the king were meeting in my parlor because King Davin was on the verge of outlawing slavery again, and that, of course, would cost us millions. Do you know whom I sent away, Kyla?
You sent away the Nine?
I sent Yulana away.
Damn. I'm sorry.
No, that's how I felt. Damned. That's where the god found me, Kyla. I couldn't do it anymore. I was dead inside. I thought it would be the death of me to cut my ties to the Sakage. Especially when I realized that it wouldn't be enough to hand over my empire intact to someone who could continue it. Instead, I had to use all my cunning to hand it over to men who would tear it to pieces. So that's what I did. I used the money I made to fund those who would rebuild the good I had destroyed and destroy the obscenities I had built. When I was done, I was penniless. My family was bankrupt, and I had dozens of powerful enemies. I went to Yulana, told her everything, and broke our engagement.
What did she do?
It broke her heart to learn what I had been, Kyla, and to learn that she'd known so little of me when she thought she knew everything. It took time, but she forgave me. I couldn't believe that, but she really did. It took me longer to forgive myself, but a year later, after slavery was outlawed once more, in part because of my own efforts against it, we were married. I've had to work hard for the last 20 years. I've often been held back by my old reputation, and sometimes by my new one. You know how most of the nobles look on those of us who actually work. But my money is clean, and the god has been good. My family has enough. My children are a joy to me. Logan has proposed to Sarah, and she said yes. I get to have Logan as a son. How haven't I been blessed? Anyway, I should have told you this long ago. Maybe you already knew some of it through the Sakage.
No, sir. I had no idea.
Son, I hope you see now that I do understand. I know what lies the Sakage tells, and I know what it can cost to get out. The god was gracious to me. He didn't make me pay all that I owed, but maybe I had to be willing to pay the full price. That's how repentance is different from regret. I had been sorry about how slavery turned out, but I wasn't willing to take responsibility for it. Once I was, the god could work in me.
But, sir, how are you still alive? I mean, you didn't just leave. You destroyed a business that earned them millions.
God, Kyla. The God and Durzo. Durzo likes me. He thinks I'm a fool, but he likes me. He's protected me. He's not a man to cross lightly. The point is, Kyla, if you want to turn away from what you do, you can. You might miss your work. I imagine that you're excellent, and there is joy in excellence. You can't pay for all you've done, but you aren't beyond redemption. There's always a way out. And if you're willing to make the sacrifice, the God will give you the chance to save something priceless. I'm here to tell you, miracles do happen. Like this one, my daughter marrying a man as good as Logan. May the God be with them.
Kyla was blinking through tears, so he almost missed the Count leaning forward further, looking toward the front gate. His eyes cleared as soon as he saw the soldiers push past the old porter. Kyla was on his feet in a moment, but the soldiers didn't come to the front door. They stopped when they reached Logan and Sarah, and the Count opened the window to hear the captain as he unrolled a scroll.
Duke Logan Gaia, you are hereby under arrest for high treason in the murder of Prince Elaine Gunder.
Count Drake was out the door in an instant. Kyla hesitated at the very place he'd run into Logan 10 years ago and started their friendship with a fistfight. He shouldn't go out. There was no time to think how much the guards knew, but if they thought Logan had been involved in the prince's death, who knew what else they thought? The king must be totally paranoid. Whatever was happening, it was never a good idea to bring yourself to the guards' attention. But seeing the bewilderment in Logan's face dug into Kyler. He was just standing there as the smaller men disarmed him. He looked like a dog you'd kicked for no reason, eyes wide. Cursing himself for his stupidity, Kyla followed Count Drake.
I demand an explanation.
We're making an arrest, sir. I'm afraid that's all I can tell you.
The captain was a thick little man with yellow skin and almond eyes, but it seemed to take all of his determination just to stand before the Count and not be blown away.
You're attempting to arrest a duke, and you don't have the authority to do that, Captain Arturian. By the Third Amendment to the Common Law in the 8th year of the reign of King Hirol II, the arrest of dukes of the realm must be justified by habeas corpus, 2 witnesses, and a motive. Incarceration requires 2 of those 3.
Habeas corpus is holding the corpse? So I had to bring 2 witnesses or provide motive before you'll let me arrest the Duke?
If you have the corpse.
We do, sir. The prince's body was found last night at the Jadwin estate, and the motive is a matter of... It doesn't bear speaking, sir.
If you attempt to arrest Duke Gaia at my home, outside the provisions of the law, as a noble of the land, I have the right and the obligation with the force of arms.
We'd slaughter you.
And if you did, you'd Dutch off a civil war. Is that what you want? Either produce a motive that would lead a man of known moral excellence like Duke Gaia to kill one of his best friends, or be gone.
My lord, forgive me. The motive was jealousy.
For some reason, Kyler's eyes moved to Sarah. She still looked stricken by the news, but as the captain grew more awkward, she seemed to shrink into herself, as if she knew what he was going to say next.
Duke Gaia found out that the prince was having sexual relations with your daughter.
That's ludicrous. That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. For God's sake, she hasn't even made love with me, her fiancé. Elaine gets around, but he would never...
Logan looked at Sarah and never finished the sentence.
Sarah, you... You didn't. Tell me you didn't.
Sarah ran away back into the house. Logan turned to the Count.
You knew?
I didn't know who. But she said she'd told you that all was forgiven.
Logan looked at Kyler.
The same.
Captain, I'll go with you.
The soldier who'd spoken before moved forward at the captain's signal, and started putting the manacles on Logan's hands.
Damn, boy! You got fucked without even getting fucked first!
Logan ripped his hand away before the second manacle clicked shut and hit the guard in the face. Kyler's Karen blade was in his hand, but before he could wade into battle, he felt the Count's fingers dig into his arms.
No!
Guards piled onto Logan.
No, it is better.
The Count's face was as pained as Logan's, torn between sorrow and conviction.
It is better to suffer evil than to do evil. You will not kill innocent men in my house.
Logan didn't put up a fight. The men took him down to the ground, put the manacles on him behind his back, put a second set on his legs, and finally stood him up.
Did the Count say your name is Kyler? Kyler Stern?
Kyler nodded.
The Crown charges you with treason, member in the Sakage, accepting payment for murder and the murder of Prince Alain Gunda. We have a witness, corpse, and motive, Count Drake. Men, arrest him.
The captain might have been sympathetic, but he wasn't a fool. Kyler had been so caught up in what was happening to Logan that he hadn't noticed the men circle behind him. At the captain's word, he felt two men take hold of his arms. He swung his arms forward, only hoping to throw the men off balance so he could fall backward between them. But once again, his talent was there like a coiled viper, and he was suddenly stronger than he'd ever been. The men flew forward and crunched together, meeting along the blade of Kyler's sword. If he turned the blade, he could have gutted either of them, even through their boiled leather gambesons. Instead, he sheathed the sword. Oh, had he done it that fast? He was still falling backward from throwing the guards harder than he intended, and the sword was already sheathed. Turning his fall into a back handspring was child's play. Kyler turned and ran toward the wall on one side of the Count's small garden. He jumped to grab the lip of the 12-foot-high wall and found the wall approaching instead at the level of his knees. It sent him over the wall in a vicious spin. Kyler stood and let the talent go. The guards would never catch him. Kyler was a wet boy now, in truth. He wondered what Blint would say. Kyler had achieved his lifelong dream, and he couldn't have been more miserable.